bombs, and San Franciscans are paying $4.13 for a gallon of regular, leading to a lot of them to say, don't fill her up. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. Water cooler buzz, baby, at its best, and we're starting off a new week. It's a brand new day. What do I like best about rolling into yet another week? Well, what I like best, I think, is all the fresh ideas coming out of Washington, she said with a sarcastic laugh. They did, in fact, though, solve temporarily the budget puzzle, at least for 2011. So now, let's see, we're into April. But that budget expires in October, and it's time to talk about 2012 and the debt ceiling, no less. So we're still in trouble when it comes to money, and certainly our monetary system. I think that's a huge part of the problem. Get rid of the Federal Reserve. I'll say it again. Get rid of the Federal Reserve. Hook, crook, I'm telling you, Ben Bernanke, I don't get it. How the guy ends up on the cover of a magazine as the man of the year a couple years ago while the ship is sinking is absolutely beyond me. But he knows how to spin, and he knows how to talk a good game connected to that spin, I guess. This isn't any spin. I mean, flat out, right before midnight on Friday, guess what? Boom. The budget crunch is over. Over in the sense, I mean, it has to still become official, but pretty much that's it. The reaction is all that's left. There is a deal. It's over $38 million. It's part of what I call the Sunday swirl, meaning if you get up early and you're having your coffee and you're watching the political shows, because that's really what Sunday's about, then you saw that most of it was over the budget. And that the Senate approved a plan to keep the government running. But it happened very, very late on Friday. So anybody who was in Washington and wanted to go to the museums, whew, they could. If you wanted to go to a state park, you probably did maybe over the weekend, whew, you could. So the Republicans and the Democrats released a statement. I'm going to read you the statement because somebody sent it to me on Friday, and I'm sure it's posted all over the place by now. But the House Speaker John Boehner and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, they were the two that kept running up with their lunch to talk to the president at the White House and talking about could they solve this and what could they give in and blah, blah, blah. So in the end, the statement released was, we've agreed to a historic amount of cuts for the remainder of the fiscal year, as well as a short-term bridge that will give us time to avoid a shutdown while we get that agreement through both houses and to the president. We'll cut $78.5 billion below the president's 2011 budget proposal, and we've reached an agreement on the policy riders. In the meantime, we'll pass a short-term resolution, blah, 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 to keep the government running through Thursday. The short-term bridge will cut the first $2 billion of the total savings. Chuck Schumer was part of the Sunday swirl, the longtime Democratic senator from New York. Also, Eric Cantor, senator from Virginia, the Republican side of things. They both had thoughts on the budget. Here's what they had to say.
About half of the new cuts will go not just from what's called the domestic discretionary, but other areas, defense, agriculture, and things like that. And that's what allowed us to get up to that number. If the markets believe we are not going to pay our debts, it could be a formula for recession or worse. So this is playing with fire, and I would urge both sides to take the threat of not renewing the debt ceiling off the table. The Ryan budget focuses on the middle class. You need to share sacrifice. And we believe that, for instance, defense cuts should be greater than Ryan proposed. You can't. There's waste there like everywhere else. And even more importantly, there have to be revenues.
There is no way that we Republicans are going to support increasing the debt limit without guaranteed steps being put in place to ensure that the spending doesn't get out of control again. The president and the White House are beginning to sense the American people get it. You know, we have a fiscal train wreck before us, and unless we act and act deliberately, we're not going to enable our kids to have what we have.
It is a fiscal train wreck, and it still is a fiscal train wreck. Look, here's the thing. I would have cut defense a lot deeper. Why do we have to have, how many troops do we have in Germany? What's going on with Germany that we still have to have so many troops there? I get when you're moving, there's moving parts, and you're moving troops in and out of there to get to Iraq still, to get to, of course, Afghanistan. But I'm saying stationed there. It's a crazy amount. Can we not pull back on that amount? Aren't there some areas that are obvious where we could pull down, where there are, where we could cut the amount of troops that are still stationed? I mean, I don't know. Look at Korea. It is the big stare down of all time, and I get it, helping the South. But you have the North, you have the South, you got 30,000 American troops on the 38th parallel. 30,000 troops. Do we need 30,000 troops there? Wouldn't that save a little dough, Ramey? I'm just thinking out loud. I'm just saying. You know, we did a show where we talked about what if you had the axe and it was on you and you had to suggest some very specific things, what would it be that you would say? And I'm certainly glad that they were able to come up with some kind of a consensus, and they did make deeper cuts even than originally was suggested, not the amount that was suggested by the Republicans, because they wanted 61, you know, billion, but basically 38 and change is better than the 31 that it looked like they were getting. But the next fight is going to be a scary one. It's one that Schumer said in talking about the debt ceiling. What's going to happen here? Because now we're not talking about billions of dollars. Now we're talking about a number that you and I cannot relate to. Of course, unless you are Carlos Slim listening to this broadcast right now, perhaps in your Mexican mansion, or maybe Buffett and his boys, but even for Buffett. So trillions is a whole different thing. Congress is moving toward the approval of an agreement on the largest spending cut, of course, in history. But there's a big drag on what to do. So $38.5 billion over the next 5 months. But what about beyond that? What about the trillions that we're talking about? What about reducing discretionary spending? You know, the government's going to have to take an even deeper swing at this thing. They're going to have to do that. Because ultimately, this thing that's thrown around, what was it that the House Budget Committee chair said, Paul Ryan, the path to prosperity. Well, what is the path to prosperity? What does that look like? What does that look like ultimately? And what do you do when you're talking about a budget? When we're talking about a budget, when you're talking about adding $9.1 trillion to the debt over the next decade, and it's on autopilot, how do you decrease that? Oh, what does that mean to individuals? It's a crazy number. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Get tired of AC/DC. Whatever sporting event I go to, they still play a little slice of AC/DC. Back in Black, too, is usually always somewhere in the repertoire. I just was at a Ranger game, a professional baseball game, and they played it. And I went also to a hockey game. They played it in the same week. And, I mean, ever since it came out, I think I've been hearing it in arenas. So this is America Tonight. I'm Kate. Yo-yo, everybody. Welcome to a new work week. Hopefully it's a good one for you. Jay in Kentucky. Hello, Jay. You're back, and I bet your cell phone sounds awesome.
Yes, much better now.
Good.
I think the government needs to listen to that song, Back in Black, and they'll steal them out of the red.
Exactly.
I just wanted to touch base on the fuel prices and how it's affected America. I mean, look at the store shelves, for instance. The price of steak is over $7 a pound. It ain't because of the price of the cattle. It's because of the price of the fuel.
Yeah.
Trucks have to get the feed to the farms, and then the cows got to be taken to the slaughterhouses and then onto the distribution centers and onto the stores. Personally, I'm spending $2,490 a week. That's $2,490, almost $2,500 a week on my fuel bill.
Wow.
To run 5 days.
Wow.
Costing me almost $500 a day to run this truck.
Wow.
When the president said to that one guy that said his car or his vehicle is only getting 8 miles a gallon, he said it's time to trade it in. You can't trade in semis to get trucks to run on, you know, any cheaper. I mean, the trucks are going to take up the diesel, and the cost is going to be passed on to the consumer. There's just
right.
No way around it.
Yep.
I mean, you can't deliver these parts in a Prius. You know, it's truckload at 40,000 pounds of payload. The motors that have to run this stuff and just the I mean, we're talking over $100,000 a year just in fuel.
That's crazy. What, like, if you wound the clock back, Jay, and let's say we went back a couple of years, what were you paying?
Well, actually, I found a fuel receipt at the bottom of my filing cabinet doing my taxes. And from 1993, I was paying 91 cents a gallon, which was $380 less per week on a fill-up.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. And it's supposed to get worse, Jay. If it keeps going in this direction, it's just going to get passed on to everybody else.
Yes, it will, because the trucks have to maintain some sort of a profit, and so does the stores. So, even the government programs, the people that are on welfare that aren't working right now, the allotted food stamps that they get won't take them through the whole month.
Nope.
The people that would go out and buy a shirt or an outfit or maybe steaks on the grill are now eating hamburger and not going out that extra trip, and it's going to trickle down effect on the whole economy.
I agree with you. I think a lot of people have cut back from eating out, all that sort of stuff, getting new clothes. You just said it. You can see it because the malls, they say, are in some of the malls anyway, are like ghost towns because people do not have the money to spend.
Exactly. Well, hey, I enjoyed the show. I just wanted to pass that on to you. It's been a while since I talked to you. Good to hear your program again.
Thanks, Jay. You take care out there surfing those highways. $100,000 a year, and you heard what he said. I loved his comparison. 1993, $380 less a week. Wow. Al in Canada, hello.
Yeah, hi, Kiki. Remember when you were in 12th grade chemistry lab and the lab instructor had everybody put a little piece of sodium in a beaker full of water?
And
you got hydrogen vapor coming up, and you got an alkaline sodium hydroxide left in the beaker, and you took a Bunsen burner, and you got a hell of an explosion, right?
Well, yeah.
Why can't we use that for fuel? Why can't we have, the solution is so simple that hydrogen is a very good fuel. We could run all our cars and trucks on hydrogen. I don't know what the supply of world sodium is, but then you get sodium hydroxide left in your gas tank, and then you can extract the sodium back again. So it's just a closed circle.
It seems so easy, but not doable.
Yeah, it's probably, it happened in the chemistry lab, but there's got to be some reason. I never majored in chemistry at university, so if it's a good idea, it would have been done by now.
Yeah, it's the process. I don't think you can process it that way. It won't go through the system.
And also,
you
know what the simple solution is? President Obama and Prime Minister Harper of Canada should get together and start playing hardball with communist China. I honestly, they have devalued, the government in China has devalued their currency to make their exports really, really cheap, right?
And
that makes, it's almost impossible for Chinese people to buy things from the United States or Canada, right? Because their money is so damn cheap.
Sure.
What's the currency in China? The yen?
The yuan.
The yuan. Okay. Well, mm-hmm. Okay. The yuan is devalued so low that I would like to know how much America sells to China every year, and what the difference between what USA buys from Americans buy from China and what the Chinese people buy from American companies. I bet you it's a heck of an imbalance.
Well, I think what's happened is we were making a lot of money the other way, and we still do make a lot of money, but not, you're right. I talked to somebody about this once on the air, and I think they told me it's at least a three times difference.
Three times, balance of payments, whatever you call it.
Think of all the stuff that's going to, for example, that's going to Walmart, that's all, half of it's made in China, more than half.
And their labor standards, I honestly think that they use inmates, they use prisoners in penitentiaries that work for nothing. To manufacture all of these cheap products, and they use children, and they use mental patients, and we should boycott any country. We shouldn't buy anything from a country that doesn't have international labor, doesn't have North American labor standards. And also, one quick comment about the masters. How on earth can a guy shoot 68, 68, 68 on average? He averaged 4 68s in a row, right? Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, he fell apart.
And then he shot 8. I shoot in the low 80s. If it gets any hotter than that, I stay home. But I shoot in the low 80s. Just for 1 week, just as punishment, everybody should call him Rory Roadmap McIlroy, because he just folded up like a roadmap. I've never. Have you ever seen anything that bad?
No, I felt terrible for him. I thought for sure, even if he dropped off because of the pressure in the final day, he'd still be at least in the top five. And
yeah, but
no.
He's 21 years old. There were 21-year-old boys on Omaha Beach on D-Day. I mean, you can't blame it on his age. I mean, he's 21 years old. I mean, when your grandfather was 21, he was probably invading Europe or whatever. You know, I mean, they were 21-year-olds were hitting the beaches on D-Day. So, you know, I don't blame it on the. I don't know what happened to the guy.
He collapsed and he shot that 80, and Ali became the fourth player in the history of the Crazy Masters to lose a lead of four or more.
You get a kick out of this. The Boston Bruins, just keeping with sports, the Boston Bruins are going to play the Montreal Canadiens for the semifinals of the Stanley Cup, and it's so hockey is so important up here that they were going to have a prime minister's debate, the debate between all the guys who want to be prime minister, and because Boston is playing Montreal that night, they had to move the debate. I don't think that would happen in the United States, would it?
I don't think so. No, yeah, not with it. Hockey. Uh-uh.
And also, did you hear that almost all of the hockey sticks in the world are manufactured in China right now? That is scary.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. I knew that some was, but thanks. I had no idea. You're kidding me. That's crazy. We'll have to look that up and see if Al's right on that. But, wow, that's kind of stunning. So he brought up the Masters, and Charles Schwartzel is the guy who won. And who is he? Who's a Schwartzel? He's a guy that was able to get it together on the final day of the Masters, and he birdied the last four holes. He shot a 66. He had a 14 under, a two-shot win over Jason Day and Adam Scott. And what a stunning collapse, as Al was mentioning, for the young man who was 21 and looked like he certainly would finish, if he didn't hang on to the lead, would finish somewhere in the money. And, you know, he just fell apart at one point on the 10th hole. I was watching it, and he had a triple bogey. And this is a kid, Rory McIlroy from Northern Ireland, who led after every round. But he took three putts from 12 feet on 11, four putted on 12 for a double bogey. You get my drift if you understand the game of golf. He just fell off the board. I mean, it slipped away. He had his chances, and he wasn't able to hang on, but it was Schwartzel who was able to hang on. He made the pressure putts, and he wins the green jacket. Kicking the can down the road. Stay with us.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's UTOPIA Silver, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's health care one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3. freeze-dry-guy.com. That's freeze-dry-guy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. And most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking.
Ooh-hoo.
Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Ooh-hoo.
I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking.
Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo.
When the big black horse said, look this way, he said, hey, but I said no, 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 no.
Every once in a while, we do a segment called You've Got to Be Kidding Me. And I think there are a ton of stories that I happen to see over the weekend that just made me think we have to do this segment again. You've Got to Be Kidding Me. You know, you hear about these stories about people being marooned on a beach somewhere, and of course, Hollywood has made a ton of movies. Remember? Remember Tom Hanks on the island? And of course, you have Lost, the television series that was so successful and so many people watched it. And a bunch of people were marooned on an island. And when you think of being marooned and you think of the old days, like if you watch TV Land and Gilligan's Island, they were always thinking of harebrained ways to get off that island. But they never got off. So in Honolulu, a story came out of Honolulu about these two women that were at one of the more remote beaches at the Napalali Coast State Park. And they were rescued after a helicopter, a touring helicopter, actually spotted SOS in the sand. The Navy says an air crew was actually training off the west coast of Kauai when they were notified about the chopper seeing the SOS. So that's distress, right? And they saw flashes from a mirror. So a Navy helicopter and a search and rescue swimmer were sent to rescue the women. One of the women was ill and injured. Both were taken to the vet's hospital in Kauai. And they say the remote beach is only accessible by hiking or from the water. And it was heavily raining
in and around that area the night before. Is that not crazy? And how crazy is that? So an SOS in the sand and the mirror ended up catching the eye of the copter, the touring helicopter, no less, because Kauai, a lot of remote areas. And that I think I know that beach that they're talking about. It is, I mean, you just can't get to it. If I'm correct, occasionally they let people off, take somebody off in a boat, and they get you as close as they can, and you swim to shore, and you can be on the island by yourself or whatever on this one tiny piece of that island area. But somehow they got buried deep inside and could have been hiking or whatever, but somebody, one of them's ill. So you can imagine that was lucky that the SOS showed up enough that they were able to see it. So it really works. If you're ever in that situation, don't think it's stupid to put SOS in the sand because someone actually might see it. There's a reason why they do that crap in the movies, because people see it if they're in the sky somewhere. All right, this is another one of those, you know, you're just, you read the story and you know it's about money, but you just can't believe that people take these chances. So there's this smuggler in Argentina over the weekend, and he was arrested by the cops. And what was he smuggling? It wasn't heroin or coke or, you know, pot. It was snakes. You know how many? 600 snakes, and then some other reptiles, by the way, in the luggage compartment of the bus is where he was smuggling them. The cops got a tip, and this bus was making its way to Buenos Aires. So they pulled the bus over and went through the stuff to find all of these snakes and all these things. The trafficker had loaded the bags that he had, with, you can't make this stuff up, 444 boas, vipers, and other snakes, 186 endangered tortoises, 40 lizards, and an armadillo. I have no, if I had to do that, I don't care how much money someone was offering me. I mean, listen, guys, you're out there hearing me say this. If somebody was offering you big money, get out, off all your worries, boom, it's like winning the lottery. All you have to do is smuggle in these 600 things, these snakes and these tortoises and, you know, even if I'm going to throw in an armadillo. How are you doing that? How are you packing that luggage? That first of all, they're going to survive it. The snakes and all those species will survive it. How are you packing that it's not shifting around, moving around, or someone doesn't notice something funny? There must be a way, because he was trying to do it, but I can't even imagine. I mean, stretching my mind, I can't even think about what is that type of packing that you're doing. Are you walking into a Kinko's and saying, geez, I'd like to pack this up. Can you pack it up for me? Don't mind that the contents are kind of moving around. Strange. And there's big money in it, because they wouldn't do that. The whole exotic pet market and the smuggling it in is obviously profitable, or they wouldn't be taking that amount, and they wouldn't take that kind of risk if it was just for chump change, right? And here's another strange thing that I came upon in my readings. You know, I'm kicking back. It was kind of one of those warm days. Some of you experienced wild weather, and some of you experienced some nice weather. And I'm just kind of perusing a lot of different things that people had sent me. And I read this. This was another curious thing that happened. This is a very sad thing. A 15-month-old had to be rushed to the hospital. He was apparently served alcohol. He was at an Applebee's in Michigan. And 15 months, think of that age, and he started to act strangely after drinking from the sippy cup that he was given. So that was supposed to be apple juice. It turns out, you ready for what it was? I was thinking beer. Was it beer? Would that make a 15-month-old act that strange, though? Do you know what it was? Margarita mix. His alcohol level, 0.10, over the legal limit for an adult driver. Crazy. And nobody at the table. This is what's so wild. Nobody at the table ordered alcohol. So there was no margaritas being ordered there. How do they end up dumping margarita mix into that? Somebody just thinking it was funny to pull a prank? I want to see. I mean, I'm going to follow this story. I want to see what the Applebee's has to say for itself when they start to look into this. Because that mother boy, you got to figure they have a lawsuit easily. And if something really had happened to him, unless they were trying to pull a fast one, but I don't think so. I don't know. It's very, very strange to me. Very, very strange. We started off last segment. We ended up talking about Alan Canada brought it up, the Masters and the great collapse of McIlroy. And instead, it turned out to be the fortune of a guy with a last name of Schwartzel. And when you started to come across the crawl, because I was watching the Masters off and on, I had to admit, I said to myself, you know, I have no idea who this is. I can't remember reading very much about him in papers. He must be on another tour. I'm not sure. And sure enough, Charles Schwartzel ends up winning the Big Loot and the Green Jacket, as we had said earlier. And it was a story of two different fates and fortunes because you have a guy leading the Masters for three rounds, looking pretty good. And let's say even if he dropped back a few spaces, because it's still tough to hang on to the lead, would he ever fall off that deep? Well, take a listen. I want you to hear a couple of things. First, you're going to hear from Charles Schwartzel, and then Rory McIlroy on his complete collapse. So Schwartzel first, and then we'll let you hear McIlroy. Take a listen.
Obviously, you know, I've never been in sort of a situation like that in a major, and I felt surprisingly very calm. I think Rory must have had lots of pressure on him, leading by that far. I can't remember who told me, but someone said, you know, you over chestnut, you said, you got nothing to lose, everything to gain, and, you know, just sort of calmed myself as much as I could, and, you know, from the word go on the first hole, things started going for me, and it's always nice when things start in the right direction. There's so many roars that go on around Augusta, especially the back nine. It echoes through those trees, so you never, it's always a roar. Every single hole you walk down, there's someone has done something, and I'll be lying if I say I wasn't looking at the leaderboard, but sometimes I would look at it and not register what I'm looking at, and I think that sort of helped.
Yeah, so we're going to let you hear McIlroy in a second, but that was Schwartzel, and we've been talking about this. We'll set this up that McIlroy had that great collapse. Matt, you and I were talking about this, and we want to share this with the listeners. He would have won well over a million, $1.44 million if he had won the thing. But, okay, he's 21, maybe he gets the yips, and he just, after having three great rounds, he kind of falls apart. But how much did he end up winning?
I believe it was $128,000. So he cost himself a lot of money because the winner won $1.44 million.
Yeah.
So he cost himself over $1 million if just looking at not getting first and going all the way down to 12th. But even if he has like an average round, he could still place in top five and get at least $500,000-$600,000. But not this time.
Not that time. All right, so coming up, we're going to let you hear what he had to say after the great collapse. Stay with us.
The U.S. economy is at a tipping point. 40 cents of every dollar the government spends is borrowed. The president of the Federal Reserve in Dallas was recently quoted saying, "This path will lead to insolvency, resulting in the collapse of our government and our economy. Our country can't function like this, and neither can your household. That's why you need to prepare, and priority one is your food supply. Fortunately, it's easy and affordable with the help of Ready Reserve Foods. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storable foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available with a 25-year shelf life. A full year supply of quality food for two people costs a fraction of what you pay at the grocery store. For a free full-color catalog, call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Ready Reserve Foods, making preparedness simple since 1972.
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
I mean, he choked on the final day of the Masters. It made us think about a couple of things. Other sports teams and other great collapses in the history of sports, all kinds of sports. So, you know, the song you were just listening to? The last game on the NHL's regular season schedule was this. Dallas only needing to win against the crappy Minnesota Wild. But guess what happened? The Wild played spoiler. They beat them 5-3. So the Stars, the Dallas Stars, get knocked out of the playoffs. And instead, Chicago gets in. They're the, you know, I mean, look what happened. Brendan Morrow couldn't even, he's one of the players for the Stars, could not even speak. They were just silenced by the Wild. I'd say that is a great collapse on the day. Certainly not the only one, because Rory McIlroy, as we said, here's what he had to say after losing it in the Masters.
I'm very disappointed. You know, I was leading this golf tournament with 9 holes to go, and I just unraveled. You know, hit a bad tee shot on 10, and then never really recovered. It's gonna be hard to take for a few days, but I'll get over it. I'm fine. You know, a couple of, you know, pretty good friends were in a similar position to me last year, and Dustin Johnson and Nick Watney. You know, I knew it was going to be very tough for me out there today. Probably the tee shot on 10. You know, I felt comfortable on a tee shot all week, and for some reason I just started it a little left of where I wanted to. Hit that tree, and don't think anyone's been over there near those cabins before. Yeah, the 7 on 10 just sort of derailed me a little bit, and it was hard to get back from there. I'd sort of realized, unless I birdied my way, and I'd realized that, you know, I didn't have a chance. And, you know, I was trying my hardest to, you know, if I had a birdie 13, try birdie 14, birdie 15, birdie my way in. But, yeah, once I hit that tee shot left on 13, I realized, you know, that was it. This was my first experience at it, and, you know, hopefully the next time I'm in this position, I'll be able to handle it a little better. You know, I didn't handle it particularly well today, obviously, but... you know, it was a character building day, you know, put it that way, and you know, I'll come out stronger for it.
All right, so what a collapse by him, but not the only guy who's collapsed at the Masters. One of the big time chokes, I think, in sports history is Greg Norman, 96, also at the Masters. Take a listen to the line: bogey, 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 double bogey. He just fell apart. 9 through 12 at Augusta in the final round. He went in to the final day with a 6-stroke lead, and all he had to do was basically shoot par, but he had a miserable time of it. And it was described by one of the scribes covering it as a little bit like watching a funeral procession on grass. And poor Greg Norman, the shark, he was not good that day. And, of course, there have been other collapses, too. And you think of sports, we could really apply this to politics and other things. But in sports, I'm thinking back in the mid-90s, the California Angels, they, early in July, were in first place in the AL West, and they were there. I mean, they were there. They had stayed there. By August, they were 11 games ahead over the second-place Texas Rangers and 12 over the Mariners, and they looked almost unbeatable. I remember it well. And then they hit the skids. Anaheim lost 9 in a row. Mariners caught them late in September, and in just 5 weeks, Anaheim had blown a 10.5-game lead. Still one of the fastest falls in modern, I think, Major League history, and Major League Baseball history. I mean, had to just take a chunk out of them because they were just so far, far ahead of the nearest competition. And then that was it. That was it. It's certainly a collapse. And there have been a ton of those in history. I mean, just a ton of them. How about this one? Thinking of other collapses, George H.W. Bush had a 90% approval rating, and in less than a year, he lost the 92 presidential election to Bill Clinton. That's a collapse. That's a terrible collapse, and really crushed the Bush family, because they were not expecting that. And remember, Bill Clinton at the time, he was a governor, he was started to get some popularity, but he certainly wasn't somebody on that was huge on the national stage by any stretch of the imagination. All right, I want to squeeze in a couple of other quick things, some what I'm going to call nuggets for you. The Department of Homeland Security is trying to make up its mind, gee, imagine that, on a plan to replace that outdated, ridiculous, color-coded terror warning system that they had that came into play after 9/11. All of us remember that. You'd hear it on the news. Today is an orange alert, or you'd see it when you went to your local airport, wherever. I don't care if you had a big airport, medium, or giant airport. So they don't know what they want to do, I think, at this time. They're saying that the plan isn't final. They're trying to work it out and make sure it meets everyone's needs. In other words, they don't know what they're going to do. And there's a way to distinguish between elevated and imminent threats. And there could be limited to warnings for specific industries, maybe even, or police or somebody in the public? How do they do that? It's like a secret code. We all get a handbook and we can't really discuss it with anyone else. And it tells us how to decode whatever Homeland Security is trying to tell us once we get to the airport. See page 5 if you are a police officer. Jenna Napolitano, in all her wisdom, says the warnings under the current system were too often accompanied by very little practical information. Of course, it didn't matter. The color coding was stupid because you'd get the orange code, high alert or whatever, and it didn't tell you anything. So she's saying that the new system is built on the idea that we're all in this together and we have a role to play. Huh. So they announced that they weren't going to do the color coding alerts back in January, and they're working on this, but they have nothing to tell us at this point. Your government hard at work. I don't get it. Because what's going to be so different about some system that tells you there's an imminent threat? What does imminent mean? Leave the airport right now because we're under attack, so get out of here as fast as you can and don't pass go. I think it's a bunch of hooey. They just didn't, the color-coded thing wasn't working anymore because nobody was paying attention to it. Okay, Iowa, sad doings, Mother Nature, she can be so nasty and vengeful. And we all have had a taste of Mother Nature, I'm sure, in our lives. But the tornadoes the one big one that slammed into Iowa City, just unbelievable. I mean, really, they shut it down on Sunday. You had emergency crews crawling around all over the place because the wreckage was so bad. The one big tornado and several other little twisters caused major damage to, check this out, this number, 60% of Mapleton. That's a city of about 1,200 people. I mean, these were violent storms that hit pretty much overnight. And this is the great thing, though, about this. There was massive, massive, shocking damage, but nobody died. Miraculously, nobody died in this. I mean, they were even concerned about a gas leak. So they had to bar people from the area coming in to try to help originally because they were afraid it would blow up. Now, so you know where Mapleton is. It's about 45 miles southeast of Sioux City. Finally, people late in the day on Sunday, by at least 5 o'clock, they were allowed back in. But you had cars and tractors. You had roofs that were torn off, all kinds of cars and a car wash and uprooted trees and power lines and, I mean, major, major devastation. So we feel for all of you who have gone through that. I know we have a lot of listeners in Iowa. We are thinking about you. Devastating stuff, but luckily nobody killed by the wicked hand that Mother Nature dealt those folks.